Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee Keys of Evan Real Talk, coming at you on a Tuesday night. We're calling this night that Good News Tuesday, because we're bringing you all the latest and greatest news that's coming out around the MMA world, boxing. You know, me and my boy Keys, we on tonight. Evan is celebrating a birthday tomorrow. So happy birthday, Evan. Do your thing. We holding it down for you tonight. But we got a whole lot to talk about tonight, me and my boy Keys. What is new, Keys?
That's a fact. That's a fact. Yo, I'm amped up tonight. I'm amped up tonight, y'all. There's a lot to get to right here. I just finished cleaning my kitchen floor. I just got my first apartment, you know, on Saturday. So this is my first show from my new and first apartment. So I'm already amped up about that. We have the official studio apartment here. We have the official studio. So I'm already amped. And the UFC, you know, recent news has got me double and triple amped. So, you know, we're gonna get into it tonight. I got a bone to pick with a few things. I'm definitely gonna talk my piece, and it's gonna be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. Let's go.
Yeah, man. But first, to our co-host Evan, happy 24th birthday. Wishing you many more to come. Have a good time, celebrate, but be safe out there, and we'll get with you next week. But we have to get into it. But we're going to do this a little different. I'm going to go ahead and get the floor to my boy Keys to let him get some stuff off his chest, and then we'll get into the regularly scheduled program. Keys, tell the people what got you amped up today.
Oh, yeah. I meant to say happy birthday to Evan. I'll text him that separately, but I was just pouring a glass of water while you were saying that, so... Yeah, I meant to be a part of that, but I'll shoot him a text anyways. He's good. So what got me amped up here is this. So there's two things. First of all, how's my sound quality sound? Do I sound all right? Does it sound echoey?
Hey, you good, bro.
Okay, so it sounds good. Okay.
No echo. The mic check is cool. You good.
All right. Word. So as long as I'm not echoing. So here we go. So there's two things. One is, man, y'all need to get off my boy. Aljamain Sterling is the new bantamweight champion of the UFC, and I don't care. Okay, I don't care, because the thing is this, is the same situation basically came up when you had John Jones and Anthony Smith fought, and I think John Jones, there was an illegal move. I didn't see the fight, but I heard about it after, and I know there was some kind of situation with that, and they I'm pretty sure they let Anthony Smith decide whether he wanted to continue fighting, and he chose to continue fighting, and I mean, he ended up losing the fight, which is really not the point, but what I'm getting to is that I don't even think it should be the fighter's choice whether or not that it's a disqualification. It's really not the fighter's choice whether so Aljamain Sterling, you know, was hit with an illegal knee to the head when he was already in a kneeled position, I'm pretty sure. I think he was like on one knee or something. He was hunched over in some form, and Piotr Jan throws an illegal knee to his head. And instantly in that moment, I said to my guys when we were watching the fight, I said, that's it. Like, he's the champion. You know, the fight's over. Like, there's no way. The fight's over. That was illegal. And they were like, oh, what do you mean? Like, nothing even happened. I'm like, I'm telling you, the fight's over. Like, they might deliberate for a few minutes, but if this is done right and this is done ethically, then the fight's over, if you ask me. And Little did we know, the fight was over. You know, it took them 5, 6, 7 minutes, whatever it was, even 10 minutes, to let Aljamain Sterling decide they tried to let him come back to his senses, or not even to his senses, but come back to consciousness and ask him if he wanted to, if he was okay enough to continue fighting. And I just think that's wrong in the first place. You shouldn't be asking a fighter who could very well be concussed from a knee to the head whether he wants to continue fighting. I mean, to me, that just sounds totally, totally blasphemous in the first place, the fact that that's even a thing, okay? So there's a reason why these maneuvers are illegal. You know, I don't know if we forgot. There's a reason why certain things are illegal. There's a reason why you can't kick a downed opponent in the head. There's a reason. Like, not saying that's the case with this, but, you know, people said things, you know, Joe Rogan was saying that after the fight. Joe Rogan, you know, I saw a quote, and he's saying, oh, you know, how come all these moves are illegal, and, you know, people are referring back to the Pride rules, and how come we got rid of the Pride rules? The reason we got rid of the Pride rules is because the world, we've learned a lot. Like, time has,
exactly,
the past 20 years, technology has advanced. You know, look at the NFL. Look how much, you know, the NFL learned. You know, it took time for them to learn, you know, what was going on with these guys that end up having CTE, you know, during their career and long after their career. I mean, Junior Seau used to play for the Patriots, and after he died, I'm almost positive he had set it up to donate so they could research. I think he donated his brain so they could research. What was that?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so Junior Seau, he set it up to be a donor. So then, when after he died, he knew that there was a lot wrong. He knew that there was something, you know, deeper that they had to look into that was wrong with him, and they found that out later. But he donated his brain so they could, science could research it and learn about it. And what happened as a result of that? Now we look at the NFL; they've learned so much more. You know, look at the concussion protocol now in the NFL. When a guy takes, you know, they changed those rules. You know, I'm pretty sure you can't have, you know, if there's a hit with a helmet to helmet contact, you know, they have a protocol for that. Guys that are in those situations, guys go on concussion protocol. There's a reason for these types of things. That's what I'm bringing it back to. The reason why I talk about the NFL, there's a reason for these types of protocols. We've learned, you know, about, you know, blows to the head and the effects it could have on the brain. And these guys are having, you know, migraines every day of their life. Like, it's so to ask a fighter, you know, if he's okay to still fight, he could very well be concussed. And then guys are referring back to the Pride rules and saying, how come it's, you know, how come it's illegal to kick a downed opponent in the face? What are we talking about? What are we talking about with this?
Exactly.
Man, that just sounds barbaric to me. Like, the fact that Joe Rogan even said that, I was kind of disgusted, honestly. The fact he even said that, I was really disappointed in him, because that just, at that point, like, you know, I don't want to see these guys get hurt that bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know, yeah, this is MMA, and they do fight in a cage. I understand. And, you know, it does get bloody. It does get, you know, gruesome at a lot of times. But we have to have a threshold, you know what I mean, where we say, okay, we're not going to do this because that's too much. Like, that's too much. Like, if you're going to allow a guy to get kicked in the face when he's down, you could probably cave his skull in. You could probably kill somebody with a kick to the face when they're down. You could probably kill them. So the fact that that's even being thrown out there, I'm just disgusted. And I don't think the Aljamain Sterling situation should have even been his choice. It should have been a disqualification automatically. And the people that are, you know, going out saying that, you know, this and that, you know, because he's showing the belt in public, you need to get over it, all right? Stop being soft, all right? He's the champion. What do you want the guy to do, hide the belt because he won it by DQ? You want him to hide the belt? Well, what kind of, like, these people don't put themselves in somebody else's shoes and it shows. Y'all don't put yourselves in the fighter's shoes. What would you do if you won the fight by DQ, so you won the belt? Okay, obviously that's not the way you wanted to win. Aljo, you know, he threw the belt after the fight.
Yep.
He didn't want to
win
that way either. But look, this is the situation that he's been put into. So what are you going to do from there? If you're him, yeah, you're going to embrace being the champion because you are the champion. What is he supposed to do about that? Not show the belt until he fights again? Y'all are crazy, man. I mean, y'all are really crazy.
Let me jump in here real quick, Keys. First of all, people that's vilifying Aljamain Sterling, y'all must then watch the fight. At the end of the fight, when they gave him the belt, he left the belt in the ring because he didn't want to. As a fighter, you want to win the fight. You don't want to win the fight on a DQ. So he was kind of disappointed in the way he won the fight. But at the same time, why aren't we being more critical to Petr Yan? That knee was so intentional and illegal that to me, once he threw that knee, it should have been game over right there. Especially when the ref told him that Aljamain Sterling was considered a downed opponent. And then when people try to go back to the Anthony Smith, John Jones thing, John Jones knee Anthony Smith to the body. He didn't knee Anthony Smith to the head. Now, I think, me being a John Jones fan, if I was Anthony Smith, I would have said I couldn't continue. You win the belt. You get another rematch of John Jones. You get to make a little bit more money. You know, I would have did if I was Anthony Smith. But that is the biggest difference between Anthony Smith and the Aljamain Sterling thing. Another thing that my man Key said, we can't have barbaric rules in combat sports. That is why Pride was not as big, not as big as the UFC. I did not watch Pride because of the lack thereof of rules, weight classes. It just seemed very barbaric to me, and I didn't watch it. People, there are rules in place for safety. Safety of the fighter. Not because it compromises competition. Those rules are in place for safety of the fighter. Why do you think the 6-12 elbow to the top of the head is illegal? Because that can cause major damage to the top of somebody's head, cranium area, because that is where you are the most tender. That's why that elbow is illegal. So stop trying to be hard on Aljamain because of the way the fight ended. It wasn't his fault. The man could barely stand up. And if y'all want to be hard on him, y'all should be going even harder on Petr Yan.
Well, see, that's the thing with me is that I don't understand how, you know, there's Petr Yan fans out there, and this is perfectly okay. You're a fan of the guy. You didn't want to see. So in the same way Sterling didn't want to win that way, guys that wanted to see Yan win didn't want to see him lose the belt that way. Totally understandable. I get it, okay? I totally get it because if it was in the reverse, I would have been disappointed too. But I don't think that justifies saying you know, Sterling is an actor and all this stuff, and he faked it to get a DQ in the fight or to win the belt and all this stuff. And, you know, guys like TJ Dillashaw coming out and saying that, you know, Sterling was acting and, you know, whatever, whenever ignorant comment he said, and it's just, that doesn't justify that, okay? Like, being a fan of him is one thing, and I understand, because like I said, if it was McGregor or if it was, you know, Tyron Woodley or if it was, you know, one of these guys, or Robert Whittaker, if it was, you know, one of these guys that I really love watching and they lost their belt by DQ in the opposite way, I would be disappointed too. And I would say, okay, I think we need to run that back because my guy didn't lose fair and square. Okay, I think that's fair to say. But I don't think that rationalizes saying, calling a guy an actor because he took a knee to the head and you don't believe that that he was that hurt. Like, I had some guy on Twitter that was arguing with me. He had the audacity to argue with me and say, try to tell me how much force was in the knee that Sterling took to the head. Now, I thought to myself, I was like, sir, how do you know how much force was in the knee?
Exactly.
Man, like, yo, I was lost. When this guy told me that, I was lost. I was like, bro, how did you know how much force was in the knee? You watched the fight. You probably never even been in a fight in real life. So like, it just kills me, these fans online. It really does, because it shows, the ignorance shows, and it's just like, how do you know how much force or how much pain, or, you know, how, you know, whether he was unconscious or not from it? Oh, that shot didn't, the guy was like, oh, that shot didn't look like it even had that much impact and all this stuff. And how do you, and, you know, he wasn't that hurt. And it's like, really, how do you know, like, how hurt a guy was based on, like, a shot? You watched the fight. You didn't feel the shot. So, you know, that was another thing that I didn't understand. Because people are saying he's an actor. How can you sit there and say he's an actor? You really think a guy like that is going to fake his way to win the bout? Like, you really think so? Or really, you really think, like, I don't think any of these fighters would do that. Because these guys already have enough, you know, they already have enough, you know, it takes a lot of guts to even get in there and fight. So these guys already have the balls, and these men and women already have the guts to do that. So, you know, what makes you think they're going to, you know, fight their way to the top just to fake their way to the belt?
Man, it's like Aljamain, really, there was no way he was going to be come out looking bad in this, regardless of what he would have done. If he would have tried to continue, he would have came out looking bad. Everybody would say, hey, man, you weren't in no condition to fight. You just should have just took the win, whatever. Then he's coming, and now he's looking bad because people are mad because he won the belt by DQ. So to me, this was a lose-lose for him, although he is the winner. So I don't know how that end up being a win, because when it's a lose-lose, normally you just lose. But it was it's a lose-lose with the outcome with him, but he's still the winner. So, hey, it is what it is, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, at this point, you know, he's still the winner, so I don't really understand. I mean, like I said, I already spoke about, you know, what I had to say about that. But, I mean, to me, at this point, he's a bantamweight champion. You know, I do think that he should run it back with Piotr Jan. That should be the next fight. You know, you should have that rematch for sure, 100%. And, you know, he shouldn't be fighting anybody else besides him. You have to beat him. You have to actually beat him, you know, you have to actually go fair and square with him. You know, he has to run it back with him, you know. So, that should be the next thing. But he's a champ, so, you know, it is what it is. We're moving on.
Yeah, man, I'm with you on that. I know a lot of people was talking about, it was a tweet or an Instagram post where he was talking about fighting Henry Cejudo. I think that's kind of whack, Aljamain. You can't take another fight until you basically beat Petr Yan. And to me, I had Yan actually winning that fight. So, you know, it is what it is, man. But what's the second thing you had on your mind today, bro? You on fire right now.
So the second thing that I had in my mind is this, right? So I read a quote earlier that Team Adesanya comes out and says, okay, so wait, I took a step ahead right there. I try not to do that. Wait a second. Let me start it from the beginning. So Robert Whittaker, first of all, right? I'm going to do a little background on this and lead up to the topic. So Robert Whittaker, right? So he's fighting at welterweight. You know, he was okay at welterweight. He lost, you know, a couple of fights. He got knocked out by Wonderboy. He moves up to 185, goes on a tear at 185, ends up, you know, winning the interim title, wins the belt. You know, then he's the champion. He defended the belt. He beat Yoel Romero twice. He's supposed to fight Gastelum, but it fell through. Then Adesanya comes in. Adesanya wins the interim bout. Then they fight. Whittaker fights what I deem a very emotional fight. You know, very unlike himself. You know, didn't fight with his, you know, usual style. And you know, he got knocked out, you know, by Adesanya. So now Adesanya's over there. He's defended the belt a couple times. Okay, cool. Now in the meantime, Adesanya looks great. Whittaker also looks great, right? So Whittaker has now been just knocking down every number one contender that basically every contender that Adesanya wants to fight. So Adesanya said maybe Jared Cannonier is next when Cannonier beat Hermanson. Adesanya after that fight was saying, oh, maybe Cannonier is next. What happened? They put Cannonier versus Whitaker. Whitaker beat them. Pretty much dominates them, too, if you ask me. I think he dominated them. And then what happens after that? Then Darren Till. Okay, Darren Till moves up from welterweight to middleweight. Okay, he looks okay at middleweight. What happened? They put him in there. You know, Adesanya said he wants to fight Darren Till. Now they put him in there with Whitaker. What happens? Whitaker beats him. I didn't see that fight, but from what I heard, it sounded like Whitaker dominated that fight as well. I didn't hear people saying that it was a close fight. I didn't see it, but I didn't hear that it was close. Either way, Whitaker beats both guys that Adesanya recently said that he wants to fight. And still to this day, Adesanya says he wants to fight Darren Till over Whitaker. So you're going to tell me that. So now Whitaker is 12-1 at middleweight, right? Because he went undefeated at middleweight. I think he went 9-0 or 10-0 and before losing to Adesanya. Then since then, he's won, I believe, 2 fights. So he's pretty much looked incredible since then, beating 2 guys that Adesanya has recently said that he wanted to defend his belt against. So he's just knocking down all the number one contenders that are around him pretty much at this point, right? So you kind of have to risk that if you ask me. So now Whitaker is supposed to fight Paulo Costa, a guy who just got beat by Adesanya, right? So he's going to fight Paulo Costa. Paulo Costa gets sick and drops out of the fight. So now Whitaker needs an opponent. So a lot of guys are coming out. They want to fight him. And then Team Whitaker, this was something that I actually put in a poll on our page. So at LKE Real on Twitter, go follow us. I put this up in a poll. I think it was first thing this morning. Because when I first saw that that Costa fell out of the fight, one of my first thoughts was, I think Whitaker is just going to ask to fight Adesanya. I don't think their first instinct is going to be to, okay, who are we going to get in here to fight? I think they're just going to call to fight Adesanya and forget that fight. And if you go look at the poll, look at the timestamp, I even put that in the poll. That was one of the first results I put in the poll. I said, who do you think Whitaker is going to fight? And I put Jack Hermanson, I put Calvin Gastelum, and then I put Adesanya. I said they're going to want to fight Adesanya or something else, or D, something else. So my vote that I put in it was that they would call to fight Adesanya. And what they do, Team Whitaker asked to fight Adesanya. Team Adesanya says no. They said, we have no interest in fighting Whitaker. We have no interest in rematching Whitaker. We want to fight Darren Till. In the words and in the voice of my boy Lee, and my boy, he would say, you know,
really?
You know what you...
Really? That's what we're doing?
He would say, really? So, that's a snooze to me. That's a sad fight right there, because if you look at it, to me, I think they just look at Till as a guy who, okay, he's not going to try to take us down. He's not going to try to, you know, choke us out, you know, around our neck. You know, he's not going to jump on our back or do any of this stuff. He's just going to want to, you know, he's another kickboxer. You know, he's going to want to kickbox, and we can just have the fight that we want to have, especially after Adesanya just got taken down, you know, over and over and dominated on the mat by Jambakovic. So especially after that fight, his team's definitely looking for, you know, stylistic fights for him, you know, fights that are good, like fights that are not scary fights. You know, you don't want to put him against a guy who can grapple or who can wrestle or who look to take you down. And if you look at Whitaker, I mean, he's a wrestler and striker, you know, good boxing and good wrestling. So why would they want to fight a guy like that, right?
Man, this is the UFC in a microcosm right now, Keys. We talk about this on our group chat. I mean, our group text with me, you, and Evan. Nobody wants to fight nobody, dog. And then people then us as fans, who are we supposed to side with? Are we supposed to side with the fighters, or are we supposed to side with the UFC? The fighters, sometimes they claim that you're not paying me enough to fight, and then the UFC is saying, well, how are we supposed to pay you to fight somebody when you keep turning down fights? This is what makes it so hard for us to do our show like we're doing right now, when, bruh, it's me, I love Robert Whittaker. And I think if Kevin Gastelum didn't step up, I'm going to go back to something you said earlier. If Gastelum didn't step up, put Whittaker back in there against Izzy. What else he need to do? Every fight from here on out that he take that's not against Israel, it's a he has more to lose than to gain. If he wins, he keeps his number one spot. If he loses, guess what? He get knocked down or wrong. So I think Whitaker's in a tough spot, but I appreciate Gastelum stepping up and taking a fight. And because they supposed to have been fighting one time, and Whitaker got sick the night before the fight and had to pull out. So I'm happy for this fight, but I'm frustrated with the state of guys not wanting to fight.
Yeah, because I was saying it to you yesterday, too, in our group chat. I was like, yo, honestly, you know, we were talking about the welterweight division. We were saying, honestly, this welterweight division is probably worse than boxing at this point. If you look at the heavyweight division in boxing, I mean, up until I think yesterday or today, it was yesterday or today, you know, they just signed that Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua two-fight contract. So those guys are going to fight each other once or twice. And, you know, before that, we were saying heavyweight boxing, nobody wants to fight each other. You know, the best guys in the world is like, you know, you have Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, you know, and probably two, three, four other guys up there that all just, you know, it seems like all politics. You know, everybody has an excuse for why, oh, we don't want to fight that guy, we're going to wait, or, we didn't get enough money, or, you know, they offered us 20, we're holding out for 50, or, you know, they offered us 10, we need at least 25, and it's just like, man, they just seem like nobody wanted to fight, but then they finally signed the Fury and Joshua fight, so now we can't even hate on boxing, because boxing is making it happen. They're making these historic fights that
yep.
people are going to remember.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They're making these, you know, they're making these fights that we used to say, okay, boxing, nobody wants to fight each other. But now we really can't even rag on boxing, because they're actually getting it done. Now, if you look at welterweight, everybody has excuses in welterweight. So look at the welterweight division, UFC, right? So Leon Edwards doesn't want to fight. Not Leon Edwards doesn't want to fight. Leon Edwards wants to fight pretty much everybody. No one wants to fight Leon Edwards, right? So he almost gets to fight Chimaev. Chimaev gets COVID, still has COVID, no. He's really sick, so that's a different thing. But, you know, the one time he almost gets the fight, below Muhammad, he starts to fight him, and then he has an eye poke. It's a no contest. So now, you know, none of the guys, you know, Masvidal didn't want to fight him. Covington didn't want to fight him. Covington wanted to fight Masvidal. Masvidal didn't want to fight Covington. Usman didn't want to rematch Covington, I'm pretty sure. But now Usman's going to rematch Masvidal. So, man, I have no idea. This division kills me, man. This division kills me. The only reason... Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Okay. See, man, this is so funny, man, because when me and Keys first started this show, one of our major things that we loved about the UFC was the matchmaking. The matchmaking always made sense. This was about 2.5-3 years ago. The matchmaking made sense. You had the champ fight the number one contender. You had 2 and 3 fight in a title elimination. You would have maybe 4 and 6 fight, 5 and 7, stuff like that. And it was like, cool. We knew where everybody stood in the title picture. And all the fighters knew how the matchmaking would go. Now, a couple years ago, well, I told Keys I had a fear that the UFC will become more like boxing if you left the matchmaking up to the fighters. Guys will look for the easiest route to the belt. Why would I want to fight if I'm number, let's say if I'm number 10, why would I want to fight the number 7 guy, the number 6 guy, the number 5 guy? Why would I want to move up when I can just fight the number 5 guy and be in the title picture? No, you guys have to fight your way into title contention. As much as I'm not a fan of Tyron Woodley, Woodley did it the right way on his march to winning his championship. Woodley fought everybody that was in front of him, everybody that was ranked above him. He fought them until he was the champ. Nowadays, all we hear is a bunch of talk. Guys talk more than they fight. Kobe Covington calling Kamaru Usman fake news, man. Masvidal's talking about he gonna baptize somebody, but he never takes a fight. The Twitter champion himself, one of my guys, Nate Diaz. Conor was the same way doing his rise up. These guys have to realize that you have to get in the octagon and fight. We as fans, we appreciate your skill in the octagon. We as fans, we tend to get behind guys and girls who are willing to get in there and fight. It's just like right now, Keys, man, it's so hard for us to get quality fights at 170 and 155. And those are two of the deepest divisions in the UFC. Probably the two best divisions in the UFC. And it's hard for them to make fights, man. And it's so frustrating because I get it at 155. 155, like all them guys, they want to see what's going to happen with the belt. I think the UFC need to come out and they need to either say Khabib is coming back or we're stripping the belt. We're stripping Khabib of the belt and we're pressing forward with the division and we will crown a champion in the near future. If they do that, I think you'll see more 155ers willing to get in there, fight, and fight their way to the belt. 170, I don't understand the excuses, bro. All you guys claim to be the toughest guy in the division, but we can't get none of y'all to get in the ring against each other. It was announced earlier that Usman Masvidal 2 is going to happen, and I think me and you talk, do we think it's going to be a different outcome? I don't think so. I think Usman just, he's a good, well-rounded fighter. And the only way you're going to beat him is if you catch him and follow up immediately. If you clip him, you have to follow up immediately. That's what Gilbert Burns went wrong at. When he clipped Usman, he didn't follow up immediately. He didn't pressure him. He didn't make him think. And I think that's what Gilbert Burns went wrong at. But, man, it's just sad that these guys talk more than they fight.
And that was the thing, too, because, like, you know, to touch on 170, I was watching the Kobe Covington interview earlier. I was listening to it while I was because I've been working from home with my new job. And while I was doing that, I was listening to the interview, and he was saying that, you know, he wanted a full camp. So that's why when they offered him, you know, he was going to fight. They offered him to fight Leon Edwards in the space of, before they had got Bilal Muhammad in there. Before they got him in there, they wanted it to be Covington to go. But he was like, I don't want to. He was like, to be at my best, I have to fight on on a full notice. And that's, you know, that's the same thing that, I mean, it's understandable, but at the same time, it just seems like everybody's saying that because it's, you know, nobody wants to fight because it seems like there's no, you know, you plan a fight far out and guys don't want to fight. Then you try to give them a short notice fight and then they say you should have told them further out so they could get a full camp. So I don't really understand it because it seems like both ways you go, guys are turned down fights. You know, you had, you know, Chandler, I think, turned down Ferguson, but then he was okay fighting, who did he fight? Dan Hooker. You know, he didn't want to fight Ferguson, but then he was okay with fighting Dan Hooker. So then you turn around and they try to have Chandler fight Oliveira. Oliveira said, no, I don't have enough time. I'll just chill. So then Chandler, now they're talking about Chandler is going to fight Justin Gaethje. So I'm at least happy that they're making a fight. I'm glad somebody is fighting. Okay, I don't even care who fights at this point. I don't even care who fights at this point. You could put, you know, you could put Oliveira in there versus, you know, put Oliveira in there against the number 14 guy tomorrow. I really don't even care. You know what I mean? Put Poirier in there versus Drew Dober tomorrow. I don't even care. As long as these guys are fighting. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, please. Like, you know what I mean? Put McGregor in there versus Alex Hernandez, man. I'm okay. Because at least he's going to fight. You know what I mean? He's another one. He fights like once every year and a half now, McGregor. You got to drag his feet to, you know, he drags his feet to get to the octagon now. That's why, you know, that's why he's losing. But that's a whole other topic. You know what I mean? At least Poirier, you know, Poirier wants to fight guys. You know what I'm saying? Poirier is probably one of the only guys in that division that isn't saying no. Well, actually, I take that back. Hold on. He did say no because they wanted him to fight, who'd they want Poirier to fight? And he said no. I can't remember, but he's turned down somebody this year, too.
Poirier, I don't remember they exactly. Wanted Poirier to fight Ferguson.
Oh, is that the one he turned down?
Nope.
Okay, so yeah, Poirier turned down Ferguson.
But it kind of worked out for him. He turned down Ferguson and got the rematch with McGregor, so it kind of worked out for Poirier. But I think that's why Ferguson is fighting Beneil Dariush, is because I think nobody in the top five wanted to fight him. So that's why I think he's taking that fight against Beneil Dariush. And like I said on Twitter, Beneil Dariush has everything to gain in this fight. Tony Ferguson has a whole lot to lose in this fight. If Tony Ferguson loses this fight against Beneil Dariush, basically we can look at Tony Ferguson as probably being on the most overhyped win streak in UFC history. And we can go on probably say that maybe he wasn't good as we thought he was if he loses to Beneil Dariush. Dariush, if he wins, he can say, hey, I beat a guy that was on a historic win streak, you know, once at number one contender, interim title holder. He was actually title holder. And, you know, Ferguson, I like that he's taking the fight, but I think he has so much to lose in this fight. And about Gaethje and Chandler, hey, man, salute to them two guys, man. Thank you for stepping up and putting on a top five fight. Probably going to be a main event. We appreciate y'all because I was starting to get so frustrated with this division. Charles Oliveira, if you listen to our show, you know, normally when they say, when you say with all due respect that you can say something disrespectful, so I'm not going to say that. Look, bro, if you go back and look at your record before you beat Tony Ferguson, if you go back and look at your record, you lost to almost every big name on your resume leading up to that fight. So for you to be turning down fights, I don't think you're there yet. You might want to beat another big name so people won't feel like it was a fluke that you beat Tony Ferguson. And this coming from a guy who's actually a fan of yours. So, hey, I need you guys to get it together, strap it up, and let's make some fights happen. I know you guys are frustrated with the Khabib situation, but if you guys go ahead and fight, all that'll work itself out, because we gonna know that you beat this guy, this guy beat this guy, this guy beat this guy. All right, it should be these four guys fighting to see who gonna be the champ. So let's go, man. Let's make it happen. Damn, it ain't that hard.
Well, I'm at least glad that Islam Makhachev looks good, and he'll probably get another fight soon, because I don't think he took much damage at all in his fight that we just saw. So I'm sure he'll get another fight soon, and I don't even mind him sliding into the mix. I know he was, like, not too high in the rankings. I think he was, like, you know, somewhere between number 10 and number 15, you know, when he just, you know, before his last fight. He may only be, like, ranked number 10 or 11 right now, but I think just put him in there. I mean, let's see. Let's go, because, you know, he seems to be a guy who doesn't mind fighting. I mean, Dos Anjos seems like he wants to fight him. So put them in there. Okay, put Dos Anjos. Put Dos Anjos wants to fight guys. Okay, I want to see guys. I want to fight guys. So, you know what I mean? They're not making excuses. I say you rebook that fight. Get Dos Anjos and Makhachev in there, because I think Dos Anjos is like number 6 at lightweight. So there's some top 10 action going down. Makhachev is probably number 10 at this point. So run that with those two guys. That, they know, that gets them the ball rolling a little bit right there. And, you know, we can see if Makhachev is – I mean, and I have to take one thing back, too, about Makhachev, because I was wrong before his last fight. I said that I think I picked him to win by unanimous decision, and he did win by unanimous decision, I'm pretty sure. But I remember saying that I was suspect about his ability once he's in top position to control top position and keep a guy down. So I knew he could secure takedowns and have a high volume of takedowns. I knew he could land a lot of takedowns, but I was suspect that he could hold guys down and be dominant in top position and control that space. And I said that going into his fight with Drew Dober, and he proved me wrong on that. You know, I was suspect, but clearly he can control top position, given he didn't fight like, you know, he's not fighting a super high-level guy. You know, he fought a guy that's, like, right on the cusp of the rankings. You know, Drew Dober might even be, like, number 15. He's, like, right on the cusp. But, you know, I think he at least showed that he can keep guys down, so... No, I was wrong in that. So I admit that.
Hey, man. But you know what, Keys? We gotta pump our brakes on Makhachev, man. Because the UFC is actually doing what they did with him, what they did with Yair Rodriguez and Johnny Walker. They're feeding them guys that they're supposed to beat on their way up. How would he do against more rounded veteran fighters with more skills and can fight off their back? You know what I'm saying? So right now, he's beating guys he's supposed to beat.
I mean, I can get behind that. You know, we still haven't seen him. I mean, when you look at who's the biggest name that he has beat, and I don't even know if he has any big, you know, even relatively big names on his resume. You know, I might have to pull up his resume real quick, but I don't think I really even need to read it to tell you that I don't think he has any big names on his resume. So,
and only two, I don't think he has any either. So we got to just pump our brakes.
And he hasn't, you know, he hasn't fought Felder. We haven't seen him fight Hooker. We haven't seen him fight Dos Anjos. You know, we haven't seen him fight Poirier, Ferguson, Chandler, McGregor. We haven't seen him fight any of these, you know, any of the top guys at lightweight. You know, we haven't seen him fight with these, you know, high level strikers, guys that are, you know, he's gonna be pressed by. You know, guys that guys that are gonna come at him with high volume strikes. Like, he hasn't seen guys like that yet. You know, Drew Dober was 23 and 9 record, you know, that he just fought. You know, you're fighting, you know, these top lightweights, you're talking guys who have lost, like, you know, maybe 3-4 fights on average. Like, a lot of these guys have hardly lost. Like, Justin Gaethje has 2 losses. And Michael Chandler has a couple losses. Like, these dudes don't lose often.
Yeah, I just think that I think with him and Chimaev, we have to be careful with, you know, with the overhyping, because, you know, we have been down this road with other guys, and once they get in there with top dudes, that hype train derails real fast. But look, man, Evan asked this question the other day on our group chat, and I really didn't have an answer then. I don't know whether or not you have an answer then or answer now. He asked us, what can be done about eye pokes, or what can be done to prevent eye pokes? I threw out there that when you are in the standing position, your fist should be cupped at all times. I don't know whether or not that's feasible, but it'll get rid of the tapping of the, you know, like when you throw your hand out there and they tap the gloves into the palm of your hand. I think it'll get rid of that. If you keep your hands cupped, then you will get so used to it, will become second nature to keep your hands cupped while you are standing. And then you know that when you're going for a takedown or whatever, that's when you can uncup your hands, boom, because that's a natural thing that when you go to slam somebody, you normally uncup your hands and you slam them. So that was my suggestion. And, you know, a lot of people were saying on Twitter, whatever, that you should deduct a point from the get-go. To me, that's kind of, it does send a stern message, but I think it would make more fights become draws. Because let's just say if the person that did the eye poke, that you take a point from them. So basically, the best that the guy that can do is he can win 10-9. But if the person that did the eye poke, they dominate the round, the best that his opponent can get is a 9-9 round. So I don't know if that's the way to go, but I was just wondering, what was your thoughts on that, bro?
Yeah, so that was actually the idea that I had was, I liked what Evan had suggested about the automatic point deduction. I had saw that on my Twitter timeline earlier today too, about it should be an automatic point deduction, you know, every time. But you make a good point with what you're saying is, you know, if you were to have a guy that was up 10-9 and he's, you know, he's going towards winning the round 10-9, which is a common thing to happen because, you know, we'll get into that. I almost said something. We'll get to that. But so a 10-9 is a common thing to happen. But like you said, if the guy that's winning 10-9 commits the eye poke, then really that round ends up being 9-9. So, and we've seen fights where there's been eye pokes in more than one round. You know, we've seen eye pokes, you know, 2 or 3 different times in a fight, whether it be by the same guy or back and forth. So that brings, it's a good question that you know, kind of like you said, would a lot of fights end up being split draws or majority draws? So I really don't know.
Yeah, I just think when you have, let's just say, you have a main event and it ends in a draw because of an eye poke, I just don't think that's good for business. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what's up with a tie? Nobody really likes a tie. Even the Brandon Moreno and Davidson Figueiredo fight, it was a hell of a fight. I felt Moreno won. You felt Moreno won. But it ended up in a draw. Nobody likes a draw. So I just think if you go with a straight point deduction off the rip, then you have a chance of some fights ending in a draw that, you know, I just don't like that. I think the fighters now, they need to be trained to have a fist cup when they're in the standing position at all times. And, you know, and I think that'll prevent eye pokes, man. I don't know if they could come up with a specialized glove without coming up with a boxing glove. Even in boxing, they have eye pokes with the thumb. So it ain't like that glove prevents eye pokes. So I just think that, you know, it was something that me and you talked about a while ago, is the first DC Stipe fight. To me, DC was, he had so many intentional eye pokes in that fight that fight should have been called off. And to me, he should have been disqualified because it was like the eye poke was part of his game plan to me. Not saying that it was, but it seemed like it. I know my boy John Jones is guilty of eye pokes, but he's kind of cleaned that up here lately. And I just don't know what you can do to prevent it outside of taking drastic measures inside the octagon with the referee.
Yeah, I thought we had, you know, I really don't know. I'm not sure what they could do because I thought, you know, the point deduction would have been, not an incentive, but enough of a consequence where guys would probably say, okay, we don't want to lose the fight just off of, you know, that one point that we lost and lose 50-49. But it's kind of like you said, guys could end up, you know, you could end up having a lot more draws just from that. So honestly, I really don't know what the answer is for that. You know, maybe it's like you said, maybe they have to just train fighters to and kind of push the issue to make sure that that's not going on, you know, or maybe they can even come up with a rule where it's, you know, certain rules about, you know, certain kind of preventative measures for, like, hands being, like, unless you have a closed fist, like, you can't. I'm not sure. Like, maybe they come up with something where it's like you really can't touch a fighter's eyes, you know, unless it's a closed fist and you land like a significant strike there, you really can't touch their eyes. Like, maybe that's something that they could do. But even then, like, if they were to declare that and say, okay, the eyes are kind of like off limits, like you kind of got to train to not touch the eyes unless you're landing a strike there. You know, I guess that they could try to train that way. You know, I guess that could be something, but
yeah, man, it's just one of those things that, you know, is unfortunately it's part of the game, but it's something that I think the fighters can fix on their own. I think with proper training, you can fix that. So, you know, we don't want to kick a dead horse, but you know, after what happened Saturday with Leon Edwards and Bilal Muhammad, you know, Leon did have an eye poke early in the fight, and then he had that serious one that, you know, Bilal eye immediately swelled up. So, you know, it's just a bad thing that happened, but unfortunately, it's part of the game. And until the fighters are trained to do something different, it's going to keep being a part of the game. But, you know, me and my man Keys, you know, this is I'm going to just reminisce a little bit right quick, Keys. Give me a minute. As everybody, if you are new to this show, you might not know that me and my man Keys, we started this show based on us going back and forth on Twitter. And I hit him up one day like, hey, man, I think we should do a podcast. And, you know, he was like, yeah, man, you know, I was thinking the same thing. So we made this happen. I'm going to get a little emotional right now. My man Keys, man, he's held me down. You know, this show has, you know, has kept me kind of afloat during this COVID thing because I'm used to being out and about socializing, and I really haven't done anything probably for a year. But I always look forward to doing this show either with Keys or with Evan or with Keys and Evan. This show, to me, we have offered so many ideas and suggestions that has been picked up by the UFC, MMA. I don't know when they got people listening to our show and going back and reporting, or maybe we just are in, we are so in tune with the sport that, you know, the stuff we're saying is actually being talked about maybe with the higher headquarters or whatever. But this show is near and dear to my heart, and I want to thank my man Keys that's on the other end of this. Man, thanks, bro. You just don't understand how much doing this show, what you mean to me, how much doing this show Evans mean to me. But more importantly, with you, because me and you are day one. Evan has definitely been a needle in a haystack with being our third co-host. But thanks, bro, man, for doing this. And let's keep it going, bro. Appreciate you.
Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you for saying that, man. Appreciate that. No, definitely. Definitely, you know, definitely keep it going. And no, I appreciate you as well. And it's been a thing to look forward to every week for me doing this show. So, you know, I take pride in that, and you know, I appreciate the team that we've been able to build. You know, I appreciate that a lot. So thank you for bringing that out, putting that on the table. I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, man, no doubt, man. But look, we got to fight this weekend, bro. We ain't going to get into the whole card. We're just going to get into the main event. We got Derek Brunson taking on Kevin Harlan. If you haven't listened to this show, I am a big fan of Kevin Harlan. I thought Kevin Harlan had – he was my fighter of the year last year. That guy put on a show in 2020, and now he's stepping up this week against Derek Brunson in what I think should be a hell of a fight. But I'm going to let my man Keys jump in here. Who you got Saturday, man, Derek Brunson or Kevin Harlan?
You know what? For this one, I want to pull up the stats because I got to look at this. This is one of those ones because Brunson was kind of up and down. He was inconsistent, and then he didn't look too good for a while. Then he kind of has been back on the up and up. So I got to kind of look at the tail of the tape for this one because, you know, Holland obviously has looked great, you know, since he started in the UFC. I think he's like 5-0. In the UFC right now. But, I mean, if you look at Derek Brunson and look at the guy he just fought in his last fight, I'm pretty sure the guy he fought in his last fight was like 10-0 or 11-0 or 12-0 or something like that. And Brunson dominated him. So Brunson absolutely dominated him. So it's, you know, being undefeated, it's not, you know, it's not all it's cracked up to be every time. You know, sometimes undefeated guys are very, there's a lot of weight that you can put on that. You know, they're undefeated, it means something, but sometimes, you know, maybe they meet a fighter that they just haven't faced that type of skill set yet, and they can still, basically what I'm saying, any undefeated fighter can be beaten. You know, just the fact they're undefeated, I know Kevin Holland has lost before, but I'm saying the fact that he's like, you know, 5-0 or 6-0 in his last five or six, or at least undefeated in the UFC. Or maybe he lost one fight. I don't know. He's 5-1 or 6-1, something like that. And he, the way he looked versus Jacare, you know, it's definitely worth noting. So this is a tough fight for me. I mean, number 7 versus 20 and 7 versus 20 and 5. Okay, so, I mean, Kevin Holland, 4-inch reach on Brunson. Brunson, 3-inch leg reach on Holland. Holland's 2 inches taller. Even though I don't really think they're height is going to be a big factor in this fight. I don't really think their size is going to be too much of a factor. These two dudes are kind of have a similar body type. I don't really think that's going to be much of a thing. I mean, they almost have the same exact KO percentage. Brunson has a 55 KO percentage. Holland has a 50 KO percentage. Holland has higher submission percentage. Brunson has a higher decision percentage. Brunson's average fight time is half, you know, less than half what Holland's fight time is. You know, Brunson averaged 6 minutes, 30 seconds. Holland, 14 minutes and 42 seconds. I don't know, man. This is a really tough fight. This is a really tough fight. I feel like if I had to, because you know what I mean? Like, people say if you had a gun to your head, like, who would you pick? And, like, this is one of those ones that I would be scared if I had a gun to my head to pick, because I really don't know if I would be right either way. Like, I feel like I could pick either guy, and I could be, like, very wrong with that pick. So, like, it's a lot of times, like, you say gun to your head, okay, I'm going to pick, you know, Habib over Gaethje, or gun to my head, I'm going to pick, you know, Poirier over McGregor, you know, gun to my head, I'm going to pick Oliveira over Ferguson. Like, those are ones that, like, okay, maybe they were the underdog, but it could very well happen. Like, this one isn't really one of those ones where it's, like, that you could really see either guy, like, getting over on the other one. Like, it's very – it's a very debatable fight because Holland's tough, man.
Can I help you out real quick?
Go ahead.
Can I help you out real quick?
Go ahead.
I'm looking at Brunson's record, right? And I noticed the trend. The UFC always tend to put up-and-comers against Derek Brunson. Okay, I'm going to tell you the guys he has lost to. He lost to Yoel Romero in his third UFC fight. He lost to Robert Whittaker. He lost to Anderson Silva. I think that fight was kind of debatable. I think a lot of people felt he won that fight. He lost to Jacare Souza, and he lost to Israel Adesanya. But I'm going to tell you the people who he's beat, and it kind of shows you a trend. He beat Edmonds Shabazzia by TKO. He beat Ian Heinisch by decision. He beat Elias Theodoru by decision. He beat Daniel Kelly by KO. He beat Uriah Hall, Sam Alvey, and Ed Herman. So basically, everybody that the UFC thinks can be a star, they put in against Derek Brunson. And he has more wins than losses in that situation. Hey, bro, I think you muted yourself.
They also put Brunson against Adesanya, and Adesanya kind of destroyed him when he was up and coming, too. So, I mean, Whittaker, I'm pretty sure Whittaker KO'd Brunson, too.
That was back in 2016.
I mean, Brunson tends to struggle against guys that, I would say just off of that, you know, just off of that basis, like, Brunson tends to struggle against guys that are technical fighters like Whittaker and Adesanya that are very tricky with their striking, kind of hits you with that shot out of nowhere. They kind of mix it up with what they do. I'll probably go with Kevin Holland in this fight. I think Kevin Holland will do something crazy here. I think if Brunson takes him down, I think that will make a big difference there. I think Brunson's probably his best route will be to fight like he fought the guy Edmund and kind of grind him out, and then, you know, maybe he could get a TKO down the line, you know, down the stretch, you know, down the Well, this is a 25-minute fight. I think that was a 15-minute fight. But, yeah, if you can kind of take him out down the stretch, maybe he can get, like, a TKO, you know, Brunson, if he could take him down. But if Brunson doesn't take him down, I feel like Holland's going to get it done. I think he's just hungrier at this time. You know, Brunson's had a resurgence, but and Brunson has looked good lately too. But I just think Kevin Holland he just looks ferocious, and I feel like I'd probably go with Holland just based off of he surprised me before, so I'll go with Holland. I guess
I think the main thing in this fight is, can Holland survive the fourth and fifth round if they go that far? How will he look in the fourth and fifth rounds? Because I don't think I've seen him in the fourth and fifth rounds of a main event. But I have seen Derek Brunson in the fourth and fifth rounds of main events. I like Kevin Holland in this fight, but I'm worried about how he looks once he gets past the third round. Brunson, you just never know which one you're going to get. Normally when he loses by KO. So I'm a big Kevin Holland fan, but I'm a big fan of Derek Brunson, so I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Kevin Holland has to win this fight early. So I'm going to say Kevin Holland wins this fight, third round TKO. If it goes past the third round, I see Brunson winning a decision. But I'm going with Kevin Holland, third round TKO.
Okay, I'm going to go. You going with Kevin Holland, third round TKO?
Nope.
Now, you know, that's usually my prediction. You know, I like the third round TKOs.
Well, five-round fight, that's why I went with third round TKO. If it was a three-round fight, I would probably say second round TKO.
I'll go with Holland in the second round. I'll go late in the second round.
Okay.
I'll say late second round knockout. Like, knockout, like something, maybe like a head kick or something like that. Or maybe I'd say a head kick or a knee. I think the KO will be from a knee or from a head kick late in the second round. That's my precise pick.
Okay. I like it. Well, you know, we went over a little bit, just a little bit. But any last words for the people, Keys?
No, not really. You know, enjoy the fights this weekend. I know I will. First UFC card, you know, watching in the new apartment. So that's going to be an enjoyable time for me with that. Next week, too, you know, next will be first pay-per-view card in the new apartment. We have one of my favorite guys, you know, Miocic is fighting Ngannou again. So that's going to be good. We'll definitely be We'll definitely have to be talking about that next week. But, yeah, that's all I got. Everybody enjoy the weekend. Stay safe and stay healthy and happy.
Yeah, man. Once again, me and Keys would like to wish our boy Evan a happy birthday. Happy 24th. Hey, everybody enjoy the fights. Make sure you, me personally, I'm still practicing social distancing. I'm still wearing a mask. I know some places are opening up. But it's still out there, so take care of yourselves. Thanks to my man Keys for this Tuesday night heat, because we definitely brought it to you guys tonight. Great show. We talked about a lot. My new saying in 2021, positive people, positive energy, yield positive results. That being said, everybody have a good evening. Lee, Keys, Evan, Real Talk, logging off. Peace.